Another recent one that I am particularly fascinated is packing plants data. Sometimes packing plants data are very much disconnected from production, from fattening barns, etc. And it's amazing what you may find there. All of the work that you develop on the farm is not lost, but not properly understood, and we cannot get the benefits from the packing plant. And it's not only that we can get the benefits independently of every of these sources. If we are able to connect, and we can do right now, for instance, growth or feed efficiency data with packing plants data, or biosecurity data with antibiotics use, or reproductive data with feeding management, it's amazing. The value that you generate is amazing, and sometimes even it's surprising for the customer.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Hi-D is a pure, effective 25-hydroxy-D3 solution to help pigs improve their vitamin D status. Improve bone health and lifetime productivity with Hi-D. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/hy-d. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the SwineNet podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and today I have Dr. Carlos Pinheiro as my guest. Dr. Pinheiro is the CEO of Animal Data Analytics. Welcome to the SwineNet podcast, Carlos.
Hey, how are you? Very happy to be here.
Yes, thank you. So today on our show, we're going to be discussing digitalization, artificial intelligence, and One Health. But before we begin, Dr. Pinheiro, would you please take some time, introduce yourself to our listeners, share a little bit about your career path, and then a little bit about your company, Animal Data Analytics.
Well, the name is self-explanatory to a great extent. This is exactly what we do. We help companies and other professionals to make better decisions by the intelligent use of data of any kind, either observational data or data coming from sensors or equipment or feeding systems or whatever. So this year is our 25th anniversary, and it's kind of a natural process. We start as a group of vets. We understand farms. We understand health. And we, during these 25 years, in particular during the last 10, we put a number of other professionals, other profiles on board. Mathematicians, data scientists, programmers, telco engineers. So all together, we have defined kind of a hybrid strength so we can provide practical, reliable, and robust solutions about the vet concepts together with IT and other disciplines that are managing the world and our lives right now.
Great. And how about just a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am a veterinarian. I got my PhD quite recently, 5 years ago. It was in Meiji, in Japan, and I had the experience, wide experience in terms of I was working in very different aspects, including health, nutrition management, implementation of different software solutions. So I think that this all together allow me a wider and comprehensive understanding what matters. And this experience is now reflected in the company. It's unusual, this combination, but if you do properly, and I think that we are doing right now, we are 40-something people here in the company, and it's a very robust proposal. So I think that we are in a very good position to support colleagues and the industry and companies worldwide in these challenges that we have right now in the sector, that we have a good number of them.
Yeah, and getting those different disciplines together is, it is unusual, but in this space, it really needs to be done. So I appreciate that background.
A worldwide leader in animal nutrition, Adiseo's portfolio of products includes nephironine, the full range of vitamins, enzymes, organic selenium, probiotics, mycotoxin management strategies, and palatability products. With such a diverse offering, Adasales supports its customers with a broad range of expertise, tools, and services to help them maintain a competitive advantage. Adasales, fueling predictable profits. To learn more, visit Adasales at www.adasales.com.
So let's get started. But first, I want you to tell me about One Health. What does that mean in practice for producers, veterinarians, and consumers? Just give us start big here, and then we'll dig into the digital piece.
It's one of the most important topics, not now, but also in the next few years, and probably in the next decade. One Health is a collaborative and multisectorial approach that recognizes the interconnection between animal and environmental health. In practice, this is telling us that we need to work together, producers, veterinarians, and consumers, to prevent and control diseases. This is a huge challenge, and we need new tools, including digital traceability and artificial intelligence, that not only helps, but also can speed up disease detection, response, analyzing data real time, identifying patterns and some alerts before the outbreaks spread, everything without adding extra workload to the farms, because this is something that we will talk probably later on about this. But this needs to be accepted by the professionals, by farm staff, by vets. So we have a huge challenge, but we have incredible tools like data science, the principles of digitalization, and some forms of artificial intelligence to control and cope with this with these challenges, so we can be fast reactive, understanding better and shortening the reaction time when we have a problem, in particular a health problem.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely, if you look at the globalization of the health problems, right? This is really what we need. So tell me, give me an example of where artificial intelligence is already delivering a clear ROI and helping in terms of livestock.
Well, one of the good things is that we can find a good number of examples where AI, different forms of AI, because normally when we think in AI lately, we're thinking in generative AI, kind of a chat GPT or something that is helping to us to do something. But there's another forms of artificial intelligence regarding image, regarding sound, regarding different types of algorithms. So we can work and use these artificial intelligence protocols and algorithms for early disease detection, for animal welfare monitoring, for the proper automation of different farm workflows, for feeding management. It's amazing. Sometimes, for instance, we can understand better what the animals they do when they are able to choose. We can diagnose, for instance, mastitis after farrowing based on the change of the pattern of feed intake. Also with climate control, it's not just an alert or monitoring what's going on, temperature is going up and down, but we can also combine CO2, temperature, and humidity to define the risk of respiratory outbreaks. Another recent one that I am particularly fascinated is packing plants data. Sometimes packing plants data are very much disconnected from production, from fattening barns, etc. And it's amazing what you may find there. Sometimes all of the work that you develop on the farm is not lost, but not properly understood, and we cannot get the benefits from the packing plant. And it's not only that we can get the benefits independently of every of these sources. If we are able to connect, and we can do right now, for instance, growth or feed efficiency data with packing plants data, or biosecurity data with antibiotics use, or reproductive data with feeding management, it's amazing. The value that you generate is amazing, and sometimes even it's surprising for the customer. So the challenge right now is how to implement this on practice. It's something that we are doing because there's not the culture and the companies of doing this. You need some, not only data, you need quality data. We are in many cases we assume that every data set that we have is useful, is something that we can use without any major problem. But quite frequently, we see that we need to discard 50 or 60 or 70% of the data available because they're of poor quality. So the good thing is that almost in every aspect of our profession, we can use digitalization, data science, and artificial intelligence, the three concepts, and probably in that order, to be more professionals, to be more effective, to improve our environmental performance, and to put people on the equation, which is absolutely key.
Yeah, Carlos, I spent my career working for an integrated pork production company in the U.S., and I always thought that there was a vast amount of data from the packing plant that we really didn't utilize. And you know, we had down to the individual animals in a lot of cases, and we had great, you know, diagnostics from the barn, but we couldn't, it was just tough to find time and the right tools to connect that data. So for me, this is great news that there's a company out there trying to assist in that. So Carlos, tell me about those data pipelines and the governance that's essential to really get this going. So, you know, we have concerns about surveillance, competitive exposure, you know, the security of that data ownership. And so how can we make sure that producers understand that that's being considered in this realm?
Yeah, absolutely key question. It's a classical question from long ago. It's not something new. It still is important, of course, and a lot, but privacy and data ownership, and not only data, the information generated based on those data sets, it's absolutely key. It's a question that I hear in every meeting when I am visiting a company offering this solution, this smart biosecurity solution, or this data science approach, whatever. Always the same question, and normally coming from the technical manager, the general manager. But what happens with my data? Who see my data? Who is going to use it? Is there any traceability? And until now, we had, let's say, acceptable answers. This is absolutely key because if the companies are not sure, normally they do nothing. They don't move. They prefer stay safe rather than do something, sharing data or exchanging data or integrating data with other users or companies. So luckily right now there's a number of new concepts, including one that is called data spaces. That is a concept specifically designed to generate trust in the companies, in the users, so we can have full traceability and the highest levels of security, so producing companies can share and exchange data with suppliers, with genetic companies, with pharma companies, nutrition additives, etc., and with the professionals that are providing the advice regarding that. So this is probably the only way to overcome this classical bottleneck. This concept, like the already mentioned data spaces, are going to be extremely helpful, because if not, we're going to be blocked in this time that there's a lot of uncertainty about this topic of privacy. Is something that could block the whole thing, and of course you will need to have always certain legal agreements and some other things. But in this change where companies are becoming, and faster than expected, more data-centric, this is a very promising scenario. So we can generate a good and robust business around digitalization and data governance and what we can obtain about that. So I am, without these new tools, I would be not so optimistic, but I think that we will see during the next 3 to 5 years a deep change in this classical concept and problems that we were not able to solve properly.
Yeah, that's great news, because that really is it's kind of a non-negotiable, right? When you're working with data from a company, is the security of that data. Having that at the very beginning can either make the project go forward or not. So that's great. So let's go back down to the farm again. What's the biggest adoption hurdle that you see for digital tools on the farm?
Well, Respectfully said, the main problem is we as humans. I mean, if we put some behavioral science in here, the biggest obstacles are the classical ones. The first one is the resistance to change. In many cases, not only the farmers, but also the vets, we are hesitant about adopting new technologies due to this natural resistance to change. We fear from the unknown. There's a preference for traditional methods because we are not confident with these new tools. Sometimes another barrier, another obstacle is that we perceive them in many cases as complex and difficult to use. This is too complicated, so I'm not so keen on adopting it. Even more, if another obstacle that we can find quite frequently is that we don't see the immediate benefits. And if we don't see the immediate benefits, we do nothing or we do it slowly. So we need to motivate them, showing which are the even short-term benefits. This is very important. We need to demonstrate something as soon as possible so that we can stimulate and motivate them to make the switch. And also we have to pay attention to the social aspects, in terms that sometimes there's it's interesting because in certain farms there are the influencer, and the influencer is influencing a lot the opinion of the rest of the workers. And if there's this person or a number of persons that they don't see that this is good, this is useful, this is beneficial, they can impact a lot and generate some reluctancy to adopt these new technologies. But the good thing is that we can do take some actions to overcome this. Of course, classical one, proper training and education, a comprehensive one, detailed. They can put the hands on. We promote they are comfortable with them. Design with them. Work with them. Trying to put in the shoes of the workers. Sometimes we are as vets, and sometimes myself, we are talking from our ivory tower, and we think that they are understanding us, and that is not the way. And of course, don't forget an outcome-based pricing in terms of show this. That the performance of these digital tools, the payback, the return on investment, is also there. So this combination of solutions can help to overcome these obstacles that sometimes we find for the digital tools.
Yeah, so what I heard you say, and I agree completely, there's some influencers, either on the farm, that if you convince them that this is a good tool and that this project should go forward, that's the key, right? And I totally agree with that. And then having them help, maybe not the technical part of designing, but certainly the thinking through the problem and solution part, right? Include, I think the younger generation definitely wants to be included in those discussions and not, here's the solution, I came for you, adopt it, right? Want to be part of that discussion and part of that solution. So yeah, I think you're spot on there.
Why risk it? Your herd may have antigenic gaps that are not being covered by the products currently available. Custom-made vaccines provide a unique advantage in that they can be formulated to a herd's specific bacterial and viral needs. Choose the exact isolates, adjuvant, packaging, and size you need with Vaccinova for a vaccine formulated to your needs. Find out more by visiting us at vaccinova.us.com. That's vaccinova.us.com.
So if we look ahead, how can a one biosecurity approach using this technology worked in our favor? So let's kind of dig a little bit into biosecurity in terms of these digital tools.
Well, it's kind of an extension of the One Health project. Lately, as we are understanding the complexity of this, everything is much more intertwined than ever. And we are starting understanding this, and this is pointing an aspect that is a classical misunderstanding or challenge in the sector, and is cooperation we need to work together, in particular for biosecurity. The first simple example, if you just work in biosecurity in your company and you forget your neighbors, you forget suppliers, you forget other companies around, this is not going to happen. There's a lot of classical examples regarding regional pest control programs that always the first step was the same regarding that. So we need to talk to each other, connect each other, but not only from the sector. Of course, yes, industry is extremely important, but there's a golden triangle for many things that many countries and certain areas used from long ago successfully, which is the golden triangle that connects industry, government, and academia. The better we run this tripartite relationship, the best. In this case, with biosecurity, I would put on the equation some organizations like World Health Organization, HUMAN, the FAO, the World Animal Health Organization, including the United Nations Environmental Program, because we need to exchange thoughts, knowledge. It's in this case, even if it's just a very limited communication, if we are able to do, and I'm not naive, I know that this is very difficult and sometimes it's not possible, but all the work and actions that we can take regarding this is going to be not only very beneficial, but in sometimes is the only way to move forward regarding these problems and issues that we are facing in many areas of the world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. If you think about the diseases, that we talk about both on the human side and animal side, right? Influenza viruses, right? Coronaviruses all share interconnectedness with mammals, right? And so we're seeing, mammals that are getting infected with these diseases that have changed a little and normally wouldn't, have clinical signs. So all the more reason to have more of a global reach, and you have to have researchers in academia, you have to have some organization and governance of that, right? And then you have to have the people on the ground that implement and share with the others what they're seeing actually in the farms, in the hospitals, et cetera. So absolutely agree.
Exactly. If you allow me a final comment regarding this, Dara, because it can illustrate some of the things that we have been discussing. If we are able within these data spaces that is going to be a safe place to exchange data and share data and privacy, etc., together with the one biosecurity concept and the one health concept, what I expect is that nearly and not in long term, we are able to exchange data with medical doctors, human doctors, regarding, for instance, the superbox, the superbacteria, exchanging data from the resistance that they normally find in hospitals with the resistance, the antimicrobial resistance that we see in certain bacteria from farm, etc. This is right now something that is not happening. But with this approach, I think that if we are able to connect this, we can seriously face the problem and increase our chances of control this terrible situation.
So today we've been discussing digitalization, artificial intelligence, and One Health with Dr. Carlos Pinheiro, CEO of Animal Data Analytics. Carlos, share some final thoughts or take-homes with our listeners about our conversation. Sum it all up for us.
Well, this is something that is, I would say, in a great extent, is the sign of the times. It's not something that we decide to do or choose or whatever. It's something that that probably we will be not only the only way to do things properly, but it will be the only way to survive. So we need a more hybrid knowledge than ever. It's going to be the only way to probably stand in the business. And at the same time, I think that that we, the vets, are in the best position. We are the best professional that can take care, because of our understanding and experience, to fight in this hard battlefront that we have to do, and it will be hard even in the next years.
Yeah, I agree. And I appreciate you sharing with us that you have some of the disciplines connected already that we need to get this going on the farm. You know, that's really one thing we've been talking about this for a little bit, right? The need for something that connects the data and uses the data not only from your farm, but regional farms and then a bigger, you know, countries connected. And so, Carlos is the is your go-to for having some of those connections already made. So we're going to conclude our time together. I want to thank our listeners. And if you have questions or comments for us, send those through on your platform. Also, if you liked our show today, please give us a thumbs up. We appreciate that.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Vaxinova, formulate to your needs. Custom-made vaccines. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Uniferon 200 from Pharmacosmos, the iron dextrin for baby pigs, which promotes faster growth. Better production performance starts with Eastman Choline Chloride. Visit eastman.com. Optimize growth in baby pigs with Uniferon 200 iron dextrin from Pharmacosmos. Field studies have demonstrated 2 1-milliliter doses of Uniferon 200 can lead to a 7-pound increase at market weight, along with a 5% increase in average daily gain. 2 1-milliliter doses of Uniferon 200 are recommended to ensure enhanced growth and performance from weaning to market. To learn more, visit us.uniferon.com/research.
All right. So a trademark of our show before I let you go is to ask our few our guests a few thought-provoking questions. And so, Carlos, what's a book or resource in your area of expertise that's your go-to?
Well, there's a classical one that I enjoy when I enjoyed when I was a young vet, and it was quite useful. But it was useful over time. It's one of the series of John Gatz, which is What the Books Don't Tell You. Because there's a number of tips and tricks and things that are not properly described and explained in the classical book. So John Gatz, that is a very experienced swine person, and defining these books, what books don't tell you about the swine health and practice, is a book that I like even to take a look once in a while.
Yeah, that's a good one. I have said many times in my career, our pigs just didn't read the textbook, apparently. So, absolutely. So what about one not related to the swine industry that you recommend that might be of interest to our listeners?
Well, there's another one that I like to read again once in a while. That is, for me, it's a diamond. It's a jewel. It's a short history of nearly everything from Bill Bryson. Which is I would say, is popular science, and the title is very accurate because he tells everything. He's telling us from the very beginning, and he talks about chemistry, paleontology, astronomy, particle physics, the quantum mechanics, geology, and in a very clear and understandable language. So I strongly recommend this book because at the same time, it's very funny. It's easy reading, so I strongly recommend this book.
I have read it, but it's been a while. I like Bill Bryson's style. He is very witty and entertaining to read. You're exactly right. Yeah, that's a good one. So Bill Bryson, for those who haven't checked him out as an author, I also recommend. Great choices. So share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
There's a number of things, but I would say overall passion. Try to enjoy what you do. It doesn't matter if you have finished university last year or you have 30-something years of experience, but put passion. Everything can be, I wouldn't say overcome, but you can deal better with problems Because sometimes our profession is very demanding in many aspects, not only physically, but psychologically. And so when you put a bit of passion on this, I think that helps a lot and makes better every good professional that you may find in the industry.
Great advice. Find your passion, and that'll give you the drive and the tenacity that you need to keep going. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. I really appreciate it and look forward to the next episode of the SwineKnit podcast.
Very honored. Thank you very much.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.